Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that as you promise, you are with us today, and we welcome you here. Lord, it's not that you leave us anytime, but we just acknowledge your presence in a special way this morning in this place. Lord, to Lord, minister to our hearts, to our mind, and to our body. Lord, if there's any need here this morning, Lord, they may receive from you. Lord, be touched, Lord, in all the areas of their life. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you care about each person here in this place and that you want to bless them, Lord, and you want to strengthen them and you want to guide them, Lord. Let your word, Lord, minister life to each one of us, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen. Okay, we've been looking at different things here that are very important for us to understand because our understanding helps us to connect with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with what He is doing. We need to see and understand what happens. You know, the world sometimes sees things happening and they don't have a clue of what's taking place. But when we have some understanding, we can benefit much more from that. One of the things we've been talking about recently is the understanding of our heart. See, this is one of those words that is often misunderstood. There is a different way, different interpretation and everything else. We have to really go to the word to really see the importance in us of our heart and the importance of us understanding what the function in our heart is so that we can think. You know, a lot of people say, well, the word has to go from the head to the heart, you know, but it's not so complicated. It's, you know, I think that people, just because they don't understand, they make it up more than what it is, okay? So really, there are some scripture that can help us. But even sometimes, you know, the scripture are used with some room and liberality so that we have to look at it. We are going to see that in some cases are translated different ways, a different part in the word. So we have to see really, you know, what the word is really telling us about it. You know, and the first one it's often used in that area is Proverbs 23:7. Okay, it says, you know, just the first part of the scripture says, you know, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the idea, you know, is the fact, you know, what are you, the way you are thinking. You know, that has to do with, you know, the way we think. But really, it's not just a question of conscious thinking in this area. You know, sometimes there is lots of things that we think or we believe or whatever that are really not, that we are not even aware of. Like, for example, you know, talking about values, our values are something that is written inside us. And I really believe that's what they are, where they are in our heart. And we often are really confused about this. And really, the Bible talks often about the fact that the heart of man is really a deep water. See, we can't really figure out everything. We don't know what our motivations are in some cases because we convince ourselves in a certain way and it's the different way. So, and even the type, the things that we say are not necessarily what is really the truth. And we can be really even ourselves confused about what really for us is important or not. The best way to see, you know, what our values are is to see the way we behave. Because that is, you know, what actually is showing our motivation. But, you know, that scripture there, okay, the word art there is nefesh in Hebrew, you know, it actually means that lots of different things. A lot can have different implications. You know, sometimes can be translated life, some other time translated soul, some other time translated desire or appetites, or, you know, mind or self. So, I mean, that's a variety of things, variety of translations, and which is which, and really what it means. You know, that is really important. You have to see the context. That's the bottom line. to be able to really make the right implication. Okay, because these things that are in the spirit, that are in the mind, they don't have a clear-cut division from one thing to another. And if we start creating those things in our thinking, we are going to affect the way we generally are going to interpret things. And that becomes more negative than positive because it puts us in bondage. Okay? So we have to have some understanding. You know, one of the things, the important thing that, though, we have to remember is what it says in 1 Samuel. Okay? Chapter 16, verse 7. Okay, about Samuel going and praying for the next king. You know, I was had to pray for David. And, you know, he was going looking after the physical appearance of this person to appoint it as king. It was the wrong way. And so God spoke to Samuel to say, no. The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. Okay, but the Lord looks at the heart. So, you know, one of the things we can see there is that, number one, is not the outside, is not what comes across in the physical that is really, say, you know, what God gives importance to, but is what's going on inside you. Okay? And Isaac can see through that very well and very clearly. Is the inner man. Now, in this case, you see the word used in that particular verse is not nefesh, the way I was the one before, but was lebab. Lebab actually means really heart, okay, but there it means the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the soul, the understanding. So you see, there are parallels there. But they're not used in a very sharp way. Very clear delineation. It's not a specific thing. And we have to see really the context. Okay. Now, the important thing is that when we are talking about spiritual things, we have to be open to the scriptures and to see when it talks about these things, how they, you know, the context in which they are used to be able to understand really what is trying to communicate to us. Okay. And really, you know, one of the things that we had to understand is the communication of God, the way God sees us, and the way He communicated to us through the Holy Spirit happens through our heart. And our heart, if you see in the one that I read before, Proverbs 23:7, okay, the word there. The heart has an implication of a door, a gate. It's a gate that is open or closed. And it's determined what the position of this gate is, if you're going to hear or not what God is communicating to you. This is very important to understand because we determine what we are going to hear from God, even if God or the Holy Spirit is trying to get across things to us. And we can screen them out or let them in according to the position of our heart. And when we repeatedly, you know, screen it off, then our heart becomes more and more settled in that position and makes it more and more difficult for us to hear what He's saying. This has big implications. Okay, talking about the hardening of the heart, that's the really mean. You know, your gate needs some oil in the hinges. And that oil is really coming before the Lord open to listen and to receive things, even if they are contrary to what you believe, even if they are contrary to what you want. This is one of the major problems that lots of people have, that when, you know, especially when they are determined and set on certain beliefs, and they screen out what the Lord is trying to convey to them. Typical example, the Pharisees. They were set by their religious ideas about what was right and what was wrong, about what one should do, what the meaning of the scripture and so on were. So Jesus came. There was the Messiah that we've been waiting for forever, from the beginning. And instead of receiving him with open hand, they just rejected it because it wasn't going according to the way they think he should have come. You know, I wouldn't be surprised that would happen the same again today, even with believers. Because they got a certain idea of the way Jesus would come back, and they would, you know, it's not going to happen the same way, but I'm just saying, you know, that the pattern of the human response to the way God works, it remains the same. Praise the Lord. God, in his plan, as is explained clearly in the Bible, tried to do the best possible way for us to be able to hear him. In John chapter 16, verse 7, this is just Jesus before he left. He had, your final message, the thing you want to make sure that you get, they get. Verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." So that is reinforcing, just saying, I'm telling you, look, this is the truth. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you." So the starting point there, this is just, you don't need me here in the future. It's your advantage that I actually go. Lots of people say, it would be nice to have Jesus here going around. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's really much better if I go because I send you the helper. Now, he was a helper too. He was helping people. He was ministering to them. But he could be only one place at the same one time. We could minister just that many people in a day. But he sent the helper to help anybody that needs help anytime, anywhere, any place. So he's always there with us, the helper, to help us. He's not there to so that we can say, I have the Holy Spirit. Or say, I can speak in tongues. No, he's there to help us in the situations we are in. In resolve the issues that we may go, in addressing our needs. You see, God wants to help us by addressing our needs so that we resolve the problems, the issues that we have. And it's the best way possible for us to actually receive, even better than if Jesus would be here right now, this moment, because wouldn't be able to do the same thing that the Holy Spirit is going to try to do to you. It doesn't mean that you're going to be open more to Jesus than the Holy Spirit that you are now, because the Jews, the Pharisees weren't open so much to what he was saying anyway. And he was there present, with all the anointing, with all the power, with all the demonstration, with all the wisdom that he had. So, and the word helper there is parakletos in Greek, which means, the comforter, the standby, the one is there when you need him. So the objective of the Holy Spirit is not to become a theological thing. It's a person, it's God himself coming and ministering to you for your needs when you need help. He's the point of contact between you and God, and he, as Jesus said, I'm sending it to you. And he's going to be with you, as you see in a moment. Okay. Praise the Lord. So this is something that we had to definitely receive. See, that's the first thing. I mean, how many people really know how to connect with the Holy Spirit that call themselves Christian? You would be surprised. Now, the idea is that, you know, the most important thing in our relationship with God is to have that connection with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one sent to help you. Okay. Now, let's continue here, because understanding the way it functions, you know, to me, the more I preach the word, the more I feel the importance of connecting with the Holy Spirit in a real way, with understanding, to be able to receive what he's here for. Because that's the key to anything that we do, in any progress we are going to make. Okay? So here it says, verse 17 of John chapter 14. No, sorry. John chapter 14, verse 17. Yeah. The Spirit of... Actually, no. Sorry. 16, verse 16. Okay? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be abide for you forever. So well, that's really an important concept. Okay, the fact that he's giving you another helper, so he was one helper, but then he's not around today. Okay, but he's here, another one who will be with you forever. So, you know, let me go read the following verse. The Spirit of truth, verse 17, truth, who the world cannot receive. So you see, you had to receive it to begin connect with it. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and, you know, will be with you. So he says here that you know them because he's there. Okay, so what that word know is ginosko actually means, you know, that not just knowing the head, oh, the Holy Spirit is here. No, this is experienced knowledge. Okay, he deals with you, and so you are going to know him because you are going to know exactly the way that relationship functions, and you are going to experience it. He's going to produce response, reactions, effect on you because he's there, not just theologically or theoretically, is there actually communicating to you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the word says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus just finished saying there, you know, that he will be with you forever. See, lots of people say, oh, you know, I don't feel God. Oh, I don't feel, you know. Wake up. Are you a born-again believer? If you are not yet born again, and you open up to the reality that God is inside you, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he's there for a purpose, to talk to you. Oh, I don't hear God talking. Well, I'm sorry, you know, there is some wax in your ears. Spiritual ears. Right. The idea is this. Okay. There is a perfect and complete and explained purpose for him to be sent to us. And we cannot ignore, because this is our contact point. You know, if you want electricity, you had to go to the contact point with the cable there, and, you know, plug it in, and, you know, hopefully don't touch it with your finger, because you're going to know that the electricity is there. Well, it should be the same with us in coming in contact with him, when we make contact with him, because there should be, you see, he has the power to raise Jesus from the dead. I mean, that all the power is there, much more than 110 or 220 or whatever it is you have here. Okay, is something that should have an effect on us. And the effect, hopefully, is going to be a good one. Because God only does good things. Okay, so we have to understand that He's there. See, you know, as traditions goes in religion, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. He came 2,000 years ago. And if you're born again, that day in which you were born again came inside you. And He's not going to come and go according to the day. He says, He'll never leave you. He'll be with you forever. If there is any separation there, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's you that you go on somewhere else. But wherever you go, He goes with you. So that when there is a need that is there, He's the helper, you don't need to go around and say, oh, maybe I better go and make a phone call so that He makes sure that He's listening to me. No, He's there right inside you and He knows exactly what's going on. And if you have been listening already, He would have already told you what you needed to know. Because He doesn't wait even for you to talk to Him. He talks to you before about stuff that you don't even have a clue about. That's what we got inside. Praise the Lord. I have one person praise the Lord. It's already something. Are you with me? See, we have to take some of the scripture that they say that we are so used to listen, okay, seriously, to start actually be able to receive or be able to grasp and to be able to get the things we have. Because we are so jaded in some way about these things that we heard some 2 million times and doesn't make any difference, when instead it should make a difference. See, lots of people feel left by God. Well, John 14, 18, just after that, says, I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. So, you know, He's not going to go away. He's not going to, you know, get fed up and go and leave. It takes a lot to get Him to be fed up with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is so important for us to go in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. I say this, you are not needy. Why? Because the one that takes care of all your needs is Him, is the Holy Spirit, if you let Him. Okay, so you are not needy. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, people say, oh Lord, be with me. That's what God said He's going to do. He doesn't have a feeble mind. You may forget it, but He knows what He said He would do because He is the Word. Hello? So we have to understand and we have to believe those things for us to be able even to open the gate. You know, our spirit, our heart, to be able to receive the things He wants to give us. And what He wants to give us is, number one, is the Helper. So He wants to help us in the situation and in the needs that we have. And so, just by itself, just by realizing that, our attitude should be affected. Instead of saying, I don't know what to do, or I can't do anything, or that just nothing works. Have you asked? Have you opened the door or the gate to listen to what He's saying? See, you open the door and the gate to listen when you open up and ask Him. because when you already got it, then you are going to not to get what he wants to give you. You have to be realizing that he is the source that is going to give you the answer that at the moment you don't physically have. All right. And so we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. See, when we have our ideas lined up with the word in different areas, then we are going to be stabilized no matter what's going on around us, because we know that we have the answers. We know that we have the help we need. We know that God has provided for it. We know that we can trust him because he's faithful. And he says something in his word, he's going to fulfill it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, to just make it clear, because some people think, you know, that they, because they got a bit of revelation, they got, and they don't understand everything. Jesus said very clear, and this is true for the disciple then, it's true for today, for you and me. Okay. I will still have many things that to say to you. See, we aren't at Jesus' level. We are pretty far away from that. There are many things that we need to know, understand, and hear. Because he hasn't told them yet, because our gates didn't let them through. Okay? So, here he's saying, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay? To be able to, for you to receive something, you have to be able to hear it. If you know nothing about certain things, and your gate is closed, cannot bear what has to happen. He has to guide you step by step. See, he's gentle. So what he does is not that he doesn't drop you a ton of problems or a ton of solution that you cannot do. It's what the next step is that you can take. So he's guiding you there. All right? He speaks to you for the next step for you to hear so that you can receive it and be able to shoulder it. Okay. Now, there are things that you can comprehend and he's going to communicate to you. Other ones, he's going to leave for when you are ready. Okay. The following verse, John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth, okay, that's what the important characteristics of the Holy Spirit is, that it's the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of any story that anybody go around says. Okay. But when the Spirit of truth, okay, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own. Authority is not there, and this is the added up, and it's completely nonsense. But whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come. So you see, the things that are going to come and the things that you have to deal and with the issues that you have to address, he's going to talk to you about them and guide you in those things, telling you the truth, exactly what to do in those situations, so that you can understand. He will, and the important thing, it says, he will speak, okay, he will not speak on his own. And really what that means simply is the fact that the Holy Spirit is not going to teach you or tell you anything that is not already in the Bible. He is going to only bring you the scripture that are already in the Bible, because the Bible completes all the revelation that we need to have. He'll take you those things and show them to you. So if you get other stuff inside that you cannot find in the Bible, it's not the Holy Spirit. So you can distinguish, you can discern what is from God and what is from your thinking, or it was when the devil is trying to push you on and try to sell you. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so we can be very clear. We shouldn't be afraid of following the direction of the Holy Spirit, because what he's going to tell us is going to be consistent with the Word of God that is given to you. And even if you don't know the Word of God very well, you have a concordance, another book that you can go and check it out and see if that is really what they say. But if you are too lazy to do that, then if you get, you know, taken advantage of, it's your fault. It's not the Holy Spirit. You were listening to something else. That should make us confident about following, won't you say? I mean, we have a sure word of prophecy that we can stand on. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, it's God speaking to you, and this is really what it's all about, okay? And he's going to tell you of things to come, the things that you had to address, the things, you know, not what you had to address 20 years from now, what you had to address 20 seconds from now or 20 minutes from now. So that you, instead of trying to stretch your leg to go far away to get, you know, you can do something right away to get some result right away and to make some progress. Is always there to help you up. You know, the comparison on the similitude, the one often we can use is the fact, you know, is the Holy Spirit functions like a GPS. Okay. He's there, but, you know, all type of similitude, they are valid up only up to a certain point. Okay. They are not truth. They are just a way to for us to grasp with our mind better what the Word already says. The truth is in the Word, not in the similitude. For example, I'm explaining this. You know, the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, what to do next that you want to. But you know, last Friday, we were coming back. We knew the road back home, but the old GPS was going on. At a certain point, we didn't go according to his way. He got completely lost. According to the GPS, we were walking, you know, we were driving on not even on a road. Okay, we were just in the fields. Okay. And that wasn't a minor road, was a main road, was a high road. Highway. So the idea is the Holy Spirit, you know, is not like GPS, because the GPS is too dumb to be like the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we can understand that and we can address that. Okay? To know, okay, you know, the other things, the Holy Spirit is always with you. The GPS is not always with you. If you are not in the car, it's there. Not only that, but you have to turn it on for him to talk to you. Okay. And if you don't turn it on, you get nothing. When you say, well, I have to turn on the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit talks to you. It's that you shut him off. That's the difference. It's you do exactly the opposite. Amen? Praise the Lord. I could continue the parallel. But you see, the thing is always limited. And we have to understand that. He doesn't give you the truth. He gives you only the information that was put inside. The Holy Spirit gives you the truth, information you have no idea about. Hallelujah. So are we stuck in a place in which we don't know what to do? Well, you know, just be humble and says, Lord, I open the door. I open the gate. Speak to me. And do it in faith. Because if you don't do it in faith, of course, as in James chapter 1, you know, you're going to get nothing. You know, you don't even know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, but we have to understand that we don't always have the things according to the way we think that we want to hear. Because we have already a preconceived idea. And I'm going to get a bit into that because this is probably one of the major areas in which people come into error. Okay, let me explain this to you. You see, take, for example, a scripture. You see, giving an example with the scripture is always the best thing to do. You know, take, for example, John 3:2. Okay, 1:2, whatever you want to call it. Says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Okay, so, you know, one take the scriptures, and if he doesn't look very carefully the way it's said, says, you see, God wants you to be prospering, to be healthy, and to, you know, just as your soul prosper. You're putting them all in the same plane. And that's not what it says in those scriptures. It's the way we perceive those things because of our interest. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, there are priorities, there are values. Okay, the position of your soul before God is much more important than you prospering and being in health. Okay, He wants you to prosper. He wants all the good things for you. But when those things become more important than your soul prospering, you have an idol. And so God is not going to accept it. See, any idol has to be, you know, an idol is nothing else than something you care, you value more than value God. Your first, and, you know, that's why he says, you know, God is jealous God, because he has to be first. Then all the other things, you know, come. And Jesus very clearly talked about that. But not many people preach about it. And I felt it, I had to. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever, you know, loses his life for my sake will find it. Now the word life there is psuche, which actually means soul. Then the second verse coming after that, for what profit you if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now the word soul here is psyche again. So, you know, they translated with two different words the same Greek word. I don't know why I had to do that, but evidently there is a logical reason behind that. Okay. That we can have different perspective about life or about ourselves according to the way we have values in ourselves. If we value spiritual thing more than physical things, then we talk about the soul, but when we talk about life in general, you know, could be anything, could be any physical thing. I mean, I want to be a millionaire. I want to do these things. You know, that's what life in the world is. So what I'm saying to you here is that, there is actually no difference. The difference between two perspectives about life, okay, they have to do that. You know, and the perspective is, one is the spiritual perspective, the other one is the physical perspective. Okay. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, says, if you right hand, Jesus shows that clearly in some other places in the Bible. Okay. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish, that your whole body will be cast into hell. In the following verse, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish, that your whole body will cast into hell. You see, there are, Jesus is not talking about plucking your eye and cutting your hand. This is talking, you know, from a point of view of, understanding that there are different values. And you have to put the right values in the right place. Your position of your soul is much more important than anything physical that happened, mental that happened to you. That's what they say. Okay. So we can see how this applies to our own life. You know, so what this was saying before, okay, we can understand it. Okay. If we got the whole world and we lost our soul, God cares about that more, much more than if you get anything that you are prosperous and being health than you the other thing. That doesn't mean that God, you know, doesn't exclude the fact that God wants to bless you and want to strengthen you and want to make you healthy and want to be successful for you. Are you following what I'm saying? But as soon as we care more about those things than the spiritual part of us, then we have an idol and we are going to be not be able to connect with God because we are fooling ourselves. We have wrong values, wrong preferences. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless us. He wants you to keep things in perspective. That's all. Okay. Praise the Lord. But when we understand that, then we can align ourselves up with the plan of God. Otherwise, we can be shifting and going somewhere else. Our spiritual life has much more value than our physical life because it's temporary. The other one is eternal. Okay. Now we can see God the Father, the love that He has for us, the desire He has for us. We see some scripture, for example, Jeremiah 29:11, it becomes very clear when he says, you know, for I know the thought or the plan that I have for toward you, says the Lord. Thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So future, peace, future and hope. They all come to this is God wants all this blessing for you. God wants to bless you. Okay. But we had to have the proper perspective. Okay. Following verse. Then you will call upon me and go and pray and I will listen to you. And this is, you know, when the situation happens that you are going through trouble to situations that are difficult that you have to go through. Okay. It says there. Then you will call upon me and go and pray and I will listen to you. You see, you are going to, but how is you going to do? And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. You see, you go and connect with God with everything you got. And He is the priority. And He is the one ruling. And He is the one guiding you. When you set Him first and not the other things, He is going to help you to achieve your result. That's the things that He's saying to us. You see, but it says, with all your heart. Now here, the heart is lebak, which actually is the thing I was talking about before. That means heart, soul, mind, will, understanding, everything that you got. Okay. So, praise the Lord. See, this is the way we get all the promises from God, okay? When our heart has the proper value within ourselves. And He's going to guide us in having Him first, and then the other things are going to fall into place. Okay. And what He's saying here is nothing else what He says in James chapter 1. You know, if you need wisdom, if you need how to deal with the practical situation in your life, that's what wisdom is. Well, you ask God. And He gives liberally. He's not there stingy about it. He just is generous with the things He gives to us. Okay? And He does not abide. That means, you know, He's not there saying, oh, you know, you want this. You know, this may be a physical thing. He loves to give you physical things as long as your priorities are right. But if your priorities are not right, what happens? you are not connecting with him. So you are breaking the communication pattern. He cannot talk with you. And so if because he cannot talk, you don't even know you are doing something wrong because you are so convinced to be right, just like the Pharisees. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Okay. Search me with all my heart. But we have to open up, self, open the gate, as I said before. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will guide you and give you the steps that you have to go to receive everything that you need. As long as the step you take are under his priorities, his perception. Okay. Praise the Lord. God plans for you, it's a good plan, to give you a future and a hope and peace. You see, but you cannot have peace if you are not connected with him. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. See, one of the major things that God wants is given in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So, see, you are elected according to, you see, this is what plan is for you. You are elected according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. See, he has a plan for everybody. This foreknowledge doesn't, what God plans for you is not going to come to pass unless you follow his way. He wants to save everybody, but not everybody gets saved. He wants to heal everybody, and we can see that Jesus healed everybody, sinners or not sinners. But not everybody gets saved because they had to connect with Jesus. So, but he is desirous for that. But if you cannot connect, then you are not going to be able to receive because you are rejecting the source of the solution. Okay? He says, you know, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So he knows what he has planned for you. You see, he is the creator. He has created you. In sanctification of the Spirit. So you see, what the Holy Spirit tries to do is to sanctify you. That means separate you from the world. Separate you from other idols. Okay? For obedience of the sprinkling and the sprinkling of the blood. So, of Christ. So the idea is, you know, the obedience that you have to the direction of the Holy Spirit is going to essentially change the thing. See, what are you obeying about? You obeying that if there is something that needs to be corrected, fixed, or whatever, you listen, you repent, and so he can, the sprinkling of the blood become effective, and it separates you from the world and the idols that were there before, or the wrong idea. Sometimes they're not even big things. It's just that they separate you from God because you are not connecting with him. You are connecting with these other things. Okay? So grace and peace are multiplied to you. So that is what is going to produce the grace, the favor of God, the ability to receive God's promises. Okay, peace. Peace, you know, is the fact that when you receive from God, you are at peace, but it's more than that. You know, peace has to include all the blessing for that salvation includes. Okay, that is really the peace of God coming to us. Praise the Lord. I think that I may stop here. So, you know, beloved, I wish that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And that's true 100%. And this is God's desire for each one of us. But we have to put him first. Because who is the one that is going to give us these things? If we go after these things more than we go after God, then we are not going to experience them because we cut ourselves from the actual source of receiving them. And he can do anything. It's your choice. Praise the Lord. So, we have a few minutes to pray. Okay. We can pray together. Then if you want me to pray for you, okay, we can pray, you know, I can pray with you personally if you need to receive something. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your justice. We open our heart to your Holy Spirit that is in us, ministering to us the truth, the next step for us to take. That all my needs may be met by your power and your anointing. Thank you for your goodness to give to us everything that we need for life and godliness. As we connect with you and are open to the guidance and the power of the truth in our life. Thank you, and we receive right now your power to work in our life, that we may experience and know the love that you have for us. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.